This is Neijing Now, prioritizing well-being. Neijing is the concept that taking medicines for an illness is like digging a well when thirsty. Neijing Now, placing and taking responsibility for the health of the individual and the planet. From molecular biology to global ecology, from political socioeconomics to psychology and spirituality. Neijing Now, demystifying medicine, empowering host resistance. We can be found on the web at neijingnow.org. neijingnow.org. I'm Dr. Jayashree Chandler, and I welcome you to another edition of Exploring Neijing Now. In this issue of Neijing Now, we talk to people of younger ages during their habit formational years. Cole, age 9.
Can make you throw up.
Dominic, age 12.
Say no to drugs, and then you get like a ribbon. That's what they say.
Ishan, age 16.
Honestly, parents should be more open about it. If I was at school, I would probably spend more time talking about how to be safe.
And Pooja, age 16.
Choose your friends wisely, I guess, would be my last words of advice.
First, some news. A study conducted at the University of Georgia, published in the September issue of Ultrasound in Medicine and Biology, showed that even occasional smokers have an increased risk of heart disease. In this study, occasional smokers were those defined as those who smoked less than one pack a week and had not smoked for at least 2 days before undergoing testing. The tests showed that there was a 36% drop in how responsive their arteries were to changes in blood flow than non-smokers. After the occasional smokers smoked 2 cigarettes, arterial responsiveness decreased by another 24%. About 20% of the 45 million smokers in America are occasional smokers, those who smoke only on the weekends or just a few times a week in social situations. The lead author on the study, Lee Stoner, states that repeated bouts of cigarette smoking, even if classified as occasional, appears to increase the risk for developing cardiovascular disease in otherwise healthy young people. In a study published in the Public Library of Science Medicine, researchers analyzed information on lung cancer incidence and death rates among nearly 2.5 million self-reported never smokers from 13 large studies investigating the health of people in North America, Europe, and Asia. They also analyzed similar information for women taken from cancer registries in 10 countries at times when very few women were smokers. Statistical analyses showed that lung cancer death rates in African Americans and in Asians living in Korea and Japan, but not among Asians living in the U.S., are higher than those in people of the European continental ancestry group. They also reveal that men have higher death rates from lung cancer than women, irrespective of racial group, but that women aged 40 to 59 years have a slightly higher incidence of lung cancer than men of a similar age. This difference disappears at older ages. Finally, an analysis of lung cancer incidence and death rates at different times during the past 70 years shows no evidence of an increase in the lung cancer burden among never smokers over time. On October 8th, the World Health Organization met in Madrid and agreed to a research agenda to develop an evidence-based framework for action on the human health implications of climate change. The plan aims to speed up, focus, and intensify climate change and health research to strengthen the evidence base for discussion at the 15th United Nations Conference of the Parties, to be held in Copenhagen in December 2009, where world leaders will forge a new global climate agreement to succeed the Kyoto Protocol. The research plan identifies 5 priority research areas, including 1. How climate change interacts with other health determinants and trends. 2. What are the long-term effects of climate change? 3. Comparing the effectiveness of the short-term interventions different countries have taken to deal with climate change-related health threats. 4. Assessing the health impact of policies of non-health sectors. And 5. Strengthening public health systems to address health effects of climate change. According to the World Health Organization, the harmful effects of the use of alcohol is a leading risk factor for premature death and disability in the world. Every year, at least 2.3 million people die from alcohol-related causes. The World Health Organization was asked by its member states in May at the World Health Assembly to develop a global strategy to combat the harmful effects of the use of alcohol. Anyone with an interest in reducing the harmful effects of the use of alcohol is now invited to share their views in a public hearing being organized by the World Health Organization. The one-month web-based hearing will run between the 3rd and the 31st of October. Contributions will be posted on a World Health Organization website dedicated to the hearing. The submissions can form a part of the documentation to be considered and discussed at the roundtable meetings with economic operators from the alcohol industry and non-governmental organizations and health professionals, as well as at regional technical consultations with member states. The WHO encourages not only member states and other government bodies, but also civil society groups, academic and research institutions, private companies, individuals, and others who are interested to participate. Winston Cole Posner is a third grader at Malcolm X Elementary School in Berkeley, California. Cole, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I'm really curious to know about your experiences.
Okay.
How old are you, Cole?
9.
What do you know about smoking and drinking and drugs and stuff like that?
It's bad for your lungs.
Smoking is bad for your lungs. How do you know that?
Because he smoked before, my dad.
Your dad smoked before?
Yeah.
And so he told you that it's bad for your lungs?
Yeah.
What else do you know about alcohol or drugs?
People on the street want money to buy them.
How do you know that?
I don't know.
Do they talk about it at school at all?
No.
Do you guys talk about it at your house at all?
Yeah.
What do your parents say about it?
It's bad for you.
What do you think?
It can make you throw up.
Are there any kids at school who are smoking?
No.
Are any of your friends doing anything?
Yeah, my older friend, he smoked before.
Does he still smoke?
I don't know.
He's not your friend anymore?
I haven't seen him in a while, but he's still my friend.
How old was he? Or how old is he?
18 or something.
Whoa, you have some old friends. That's like twice your age. How'd you get to be friends with him?
We met at the park, and we were playing boxing.
Do you have any curiosity about smoking or drinking?
No.
That's interesting. What do you think about the people who are asking for money for drugs and stuff on the streets?
They're dumbos.
Why do you call them dumbos?
Oh, and they're also psychos.
Why do you call them psychos?
I don't know.
Okay. People say that it's around age 9 or 10 that people start smoking and drinking and experimenting these days. But that hasn't been your experience. You haven't seen anybody doing that at school or any of your classmates or friends, huh?
Mm-mm.
Do you see ads on TV or ads in magazines on billboards and stuff for smoking and drinking?
Not yet.
Okay. How do you think smoking and drinking is bad for you, besides it hurts your lungs and you throw up?
I don't know.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add?
No.
All right. Well, thanks so much. It's been really interesting to talk to you. It's not what I expected, so it's been kind of a surprise.
Okay.
Thank you. You're sweet.
Winston Cole Posner from Berkeley, California. Tin tin na di na di na da 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 kita taka di kita taka tari kita taka da ti taka taka di ni gain ta da na da tin da ka da 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 kita taka di kita taka na 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 kita taka ta 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 kita taka da da kita taka di kita taka na na kita taka ta ta kita taka da kita taka di kita taka na kita taka ta kita taka da 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 kita taka di kita taka na kita taka ta kita taka da 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 kita taka di kita taka na kita taka ta kita taka da da. Dominic Mortarotti is a 12-year-old student at St. Teresa Catholic School in Oakland, California. Dominic, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
I wanted to know what you think about habits and addictions.
Well, I think habits mostly have to do with your background. Not only that, but also what's around you. Like, let's say one day at school, you see kids goofing off during class, then instead of paying attention, you wouldn't want to be left out, and you would more likely to goof off.
Goofing off in class could become a habit if everybody else around you is goofing off.
Yeah.
What kind of habits would you say that you have?
I have a really bad habit of biting my fingernails. I think that's just really a nervous habit.
Do you notice if there's something in the environment that makes you nervous?
Well, it's usually something like if I see my mom's angry or she's stressed out, I'll like start biting my fingernails. Or if my friends, if they're like nervous, get a bad grade on the test, and then I'm like, oh crap, if it was a hard test, then I might have to worry about that.
Do either of your parents or anybody else in your family bite their fingernails?
Yes, my dad a lot. My mom, not that much at all. My brother a little bit, maybe Gen X too.
Yeah, you could have inherited it. I mean, an inheritance isn't always necessarily genetic because you can inherit a way of doing things, but perhaps it's partly genetic.
Yeah, I think that some people more likely do the same thing over and over again, and other people most likely, you know, always do new things. So some people are less immune to habits, I don't know.
Well said. And also, I think you learn from your parents how to be in the world, and you kind of learn by copying them.
Mm-hmm. Like, if my dad swears or something, maybe I just catch on to that.
So what's it like to be in junior high in terms of habits and addictions and smoking and drinking and using drugs and stuff like that?
I don't think anyone in my school smokes or does drugs or anything like that.
Huh, interesting. Do you go to a private school or a public school?
Private school.
So what are the rules at the private school about smoking and drinking?
No one does it there, so it's not really a problem. But I have friends who go to public schools, and there's like lockdowns, drugs, people pull out shotguns sometimes and knives. Drinking's definitely a bad habit, I think, more in public schools.
Kids your age in public schools are doing it more than...
Yeah, definitely more than private schools, because let's say your parents grew up in a bad neighborhood, a little less fortunate, they can always take care of you. And so you're more on your own and you get a lot more influenced by peer pressure, and it just sort of becomes a habit, you know, just not to listen to your parents. Or
so listening to your parents is a habit also.
Sort of. It's sort of like a habit of obedience. Like, you sort of like with your dog.
Interesting perspective. Okay, so we're not talking about tobacco and alcohol and drugs at your school and in your life. What other habits are going on with kids around you and that you are aware of in your life?
Well, kids aren't really as focused about homework, and because you just like get home from school, you don't really pay attention to your work or any other stuff. You just get on the computer, video chat with your friends, chill out, take a soda, drink it, and then like maybe 12 o'clock at night, you just finished up your homework.
And what's the soda habit?
Soda habit, sugar. If you drink sugar or have sugar a lot, your body wants more sugar. I mean, definitely not anything as close as drugs at all, but sort of a craving that your body needs.
What do you know about craving?
Craving is very interesting because once you taste something, I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. And then your just body sort of jumps. You're like brain cells are dying. I don't know. And you want a lot more. And then if you don't have it, you get depressed. And once you get depressed, you're sort of like your body makes up things to make you want to have it again, like, you know, more tired, more emotionally stressful, you know, you're not as social.
That's what you experience with sugar?
No, that was more about drugs. I haven't done any of that, but so that's what my friends say.
Who are your friends that are telling you about the cravings?
Oh, it's just friends that I make at social groups or whatever at my school.
So they have some experience with drugs.
Yeah, cravings and stuff.
When they talk about it, do they talk about it in like a positive way or a negative way?
Some of it, like the brag, they're like, oh, blah, 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 I've done this bad and I'm bad and you guys are not as good as me.
Being bad is kind of good.
Yeah, in this world it is. I think a lot more than it used to be. Because you say, oh yeah, I did something bad, I stole something from the store, people will be like, oh, how'd you get the guts to do that? They sort of look up to you and respect you.
Why do you think that is now?
It's sort of a odd thing. Like, I've met kids who their parents have offered them alcohol, and then they'll be like, no, it's okay, I'm good with it. I think if something is restricted, the person wants it more. So if playing on the computer is restricted, the person wants it more. If eating candy is restricted, the person wants it more. If drinking alcohol is restricted, the person wants it more. So once there's a restriction, your body makes up like a fact in your head, like this is so much better than it usually is.
Well, that's very wise. What I'm wondering about is why you think kids or people give more respect to people who are doing things that are bad.
I don't necessarily know. The respect sort of comes from, like, how'd you get the balls to do it? How'd you work up enough guts to do it while you did that? And that's amazing, because I would be too scared to do it, you know?
There's a certain respect for the courage, but not necessarily for the actual badness of it.
No, more about the courage and everything.
But can you tell me what you know about tobacco and what you know about alcohol, what you know about drugs?
Like, think of you're in a good neighborhood, you're in some sort of innocent bubble, I don't know, and if you're not, you're outside the bubble and you're exposed to more bad things.
But still, you must know something.
Yeah.
So tell me what you know.
About tobacco? Well, I have a friend who has an older brother. He graduated last year. He would, like, get tobacco, and I could just, like, see he was, like, sort of pale all the time, and he just, like, was really out of it.
What do you know about alcohol?
Alcohol. I went to Mexico, and it was a summer school type thing, and there are my friends there, and they just were, like, addicted to alcohol. Every night or so, they would say, oh, yeah, let's get drunk tonight, I don't know, blah, 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 blah.
How old were they?
14.
What did you think about that?
I was sort of surprised, and I was saying, okay, you're never really going to get anywhere in life.
Interesting. So you haven't had any curiosity?
I have had a little curiosity. I've always been wondering, maybe I should try it one time, I don't know, blah, blah. But then there's always the subconscious feeling that holds me back, saying, no, it's just going to be too bad to do that.
And what is it that you're curious about trying?
I don't know, alcohol. I mean, like, I've had church alcohol that's so diluted, it tastes like someone, I don't know, spit in water and gave it to you. That's church alcohol, but I've had real alcohol and it's okay.
When did you have real alcohol?
I was like, hey, Dad, can I have a little sip of your, like, Chardonnay? He was like, okay. He just gave me a little sip.
What was it like for you?
It tasted actually pretty good.
What about drugs? What do you know about drugs?
Drugs. I don't really know that much about drugs.
Do you know about marijuana?
Yeah, I know almost all the drugs, but I haven't had any experience in them.
Do you have any ideas about what their effects are or what their bad effects are? Or, you know, why people would want to do them or why people won't want to do them?
I've had friends that go to public schools where this guy took acid, and my friend told me that he was, like, talking to a tree. When you do drugs, it's like burning brain cells, and then your body gets high, and then it wants more because it felt good.
What do they teach you at school about drugs, alcohol, tobacco?
They say it's bad and don't do it, and they don't really teach you anything about it because it's a private school.
It's a blanket statement. It's bad, don't do it, and then you don't get any information about it.
Say no to drugs, and then you get like a ribbon. That's what they say.
Do you think that's an effective way?
It's not an effective way at all, because then people are like, why is it bad? What does it do to you? How does it affect you?
So there are kids that ask those questions, and then what happens when they ask those questions?
They don't really say anything. They're like, oh, it's just bad. Yeah, you shouldn't do it.
Is this a religious school, like a Catholic school?
It's a Catholic school. Like, it's really protected. But I know about these things through my friends, my dad, just people who have had some experience with it.
What have your parents told you?
They think it's really bad and I shouldn't do it, but they actually explain how it is bad and how it affects your body.
So what did they explain to you?
They haven't done it at all or anything, but they have explained to me what they do to you. And my mom has had friends in school who've done drugs, and she could just see how they were academically ahead and how they were always, like, in the middle of class, say, oh, yeah, I have to go to the bathroom, and then she would go get water, and then she could see her, like, friends doing it.
What are your parents' attitudes?
They think that it's one of the worst things you could do for your body, and how don't really try it. because once you do it, you'll get hooked. And it's all about peer pressure. I mean, my mom, when she was in high school, our bunch of friends were like, oh, try this cigarette. And she was like, she tasted it. It tasted so bad. And then she just spit it out and threw up. And then she didn't try that again. But then the peer pressure says, do it again, do it again. And then your body finally gets addicted to it.
Have you ever tried a cigarette?
No.
Do you ever want to?
Once, and then I'll see if it's any good or not. But no, I'll probably try it once, you know.
Do you think you might do that soon?
Well, the easiest I could get it. I mean, no, I'm maybe high school, but when, I mean, I probably won't like it at all. And I'll probably, I don't know, probably say it's disgusting and then just go back with my life.
What happens if you like it?
Then I'll have to go to those classes where like, hello, my name is Bob and I've been sober for 15 years. Yay, Bob! You know, one of those like alcohol classes.
You won't go to an alcohol class for tobacco though.
I know, but something like that, like cigarette class where they help you out and they say, so just try thinking of something else besides cigarettes.
So Cigarettes Anonymous?
Yeah.
Do you think you could ask your parents if you could try some cigarettes?
I don't, they'll probably say no, and I probably won't take it, you know. I'm just saying that as an example, as I might do it, you know.
Why do you think that you felt comfortable to ask your dad if you could have a sip of Chardonnay, but you think you might not feel comfortable to ask if you could have a puff of a cigarette?
Because none of my parents smoke, and it's sort of like I always see them at dinner, like one glass of wine, but I never see them smoke, so it's something that's more in the open. My grandparents were from Italy, so I don't know, they're winemakers there, I think.
Alcohol is just more socially acceptable in your family than cigarettes.
Yes, that's definitely true. I've never seen anyone in my family smoke or do anything bad, like, or do anything like that, but I've always seen them like have a sip of red wine or white wine during dinner.
Do you think that when you grow up, you probably use alcohol?
Not in the sense of using it, but maybe during dinner, I'll have a glass of it or whatever, or when I'm 21, I'll maybe go to Paris and like, you know, party. Definitely won't, like, when I'm 21, go take a puff of a cigarette.
When you're 21, you want to go take a puff of a cigarette?
No, I won't want to do that.
But you do want to try a cigarette when you're in high school, you said.
Maybe. It all depends on what high school I go to and what is the circumstances.
Do you think you have any curiosity about trying any other kind of drugs?
No, not really. I'd be curious to see if someone take it and see what their reaction's like. If they became schizophrenic, if they like were talking to a lamp. It'd be sort of funny to see that, I think.
Would you want to have that experience yourself?
No, because it would burn my brain cells and I probably wouldn't be able to think that much after that.
Do you think it matters what kind of friends you have or what your friends are doing?
A little bit, but I think it's more about your choices more than like what your friends are doing. I've never had a friend like that who said, okay, come on, dude, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. They make their own choice, I make my own choice. But I think in any other situation, that might be different. I had a friend in Mexico. He got a lot of peer pressure and he started doing stuff like that, so I don't know.
Is the peer pressure kind of like, if you don't try this, then you're not part of the gang, you're not part of one of us?
It's not really like that anymore, but it's sort of your own self saying that. It's sort of like your own subconscious saying, like, oh, look at all your friends doing it. Oh, you're such a sissy, you're not doing it. Not your friends don't really care, I don't think.
Your friends aren't saying, oh, you're a sissy. It's your own mind saying you're a sissy.
Yeah, my own mind never says that, but...
What's wrong with being a sissy?
Nothing, but it's become something bad. To some people, sissies are someone who doesn't, like, do alcohol or do drugs, but to me, sissy is someone who can't stand up for themselves, like... You know, one of those weird signs that say, like, above the influence.
Above the influence.
I see commercials for that everywhere. I've seen one above the influence ad where this guy's like, if everyone takes a part of you, there's nothing left.
So above the influence is about being strong within and staying above the influence of other people who are trying to have bad influence on you.
Yeah, it's sort of like making your own choices and choosing your friends.
Nice.
I think it's sort of a smart commercial. There are not some, like, big fat guy behind a desk saying, drugs is bad for you, don't do it. They're integrating something that happens in daily life.
It's less of just saying no, but more realistic.
It's definitely more realistic.
And more inspiring.
Definitely more inspiring.
That's very nice to know that that's out there. I've really enjoyed talking to you, Dominic.
You too.
Thanks. Dominic Mortarotti from Oakland, California. Ishan Chaudhary is a junior at San Rafael High School in San Rafael, California.
Ishan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
You're welcome.
Tell me what you know about habits, addictions, smoking, drugs, alcohol.
I know a bit about that just because of seeing people who've been addicted or just have bad habits. For instance, my dad, bad habits of smoking cigarettes or something like that. And I've seen parents, alcoholics, stuff like that. I mean, it's pretty common for most 16-year-olds to have smoked something.
Have you ever smoked anything?
Yeah, I've smoked. Do I have to say what I've smoked?
You can say what you smoked if you want to.
I mean, I smoke weed occasionally. I'm trying to stay away from cigarettes. Cigarettes are not the greatest thing.
Have you tried cigarettes?
Yeah, I've tried cigarettes, unfortunately.
Why do you say unfortunately?
Just a waste of time, I guess. Cigarettes are just, they're pointless.
Say more about that. What do you mean they're pointless?
You don't really get the feeling like if you smoke weed, you get high. If you smoke a cigarette, you just get a little lightheaded.
Why do you think so many people are addicted to cigarettes?
Just like when you get stressed out, it's kind of, it just becomes a habit. You're hanging out with a friend or something like that, or as soon as you get home, after you eat, it just becomes a habit. Bad habits. It's kind of what I think.
Do your parents know that you have tried cigarettes and are smoking weed kind of regularly?
My mom knows. My dad kind of has a feeling. I'm kind of more open with my mom than I am my dad.
And what do you think their attitudes are about it?
My mom is kind of, I mean, there's not really much she can do to stop me. She'd tell me not to, and then I have to hide it, and then I just go around and do it, like, somewhere else. So it's kind of better if I'm just open with her about it. It's not like she likes me doing it. If I was doing better in school, if I was actually, like, headed somewhere in life right now, probably wouldn't be too much of an issue, but since I'm not, she probably doesn't have the best attitude about it.
Do you think that there's a relationship between not being headed anywhere and your use of marijuana?
If you make marijuana a priority, then yeah, but I don't really make it a priority. It's just kind of like hanging out with friends or something like that. It's around. I mean, it's the Bay Area. It's California.
What do you think your father's attitude is?
Bit different than my mom's. It's kind of, no, you should not do that at all. He gets pretty mad when he finds out.
How does that manifest? What does that look like?
He kind of just talks to me about it, just says it's not a good thing to do. Talks a lot about the law and says how it's an illegal drug. You can get in trouble. You can get in big time trouble if you use it.
What is your attitude? What do you think about it?
I definitely think that it's better to smoke weed than it is to drink, because at least you can keep like a clear conscience. You're not like uncontrollable, you know what I'm saying? I've been smoking weed for a while, so it's not like a big deal. It's kind of just like, it's normal. It's not a bad thing to me. Most of my friends smoke, so it's like, it's bad if it's just like a constant thing just every single day and it's like you're not doing anything else. But if it's kind of just like you're hanging out with friends on a weekend or something like that, I think it's fine.
How long have you been using weed?
Since I was like 8th grade, probably, 13.
What was it like the first time you used it?
The first time I actually got high, it was a pretty good feeling. It's pretty magical.
You briefly mentioned that you know something about habits and addictions also through seeing people who are alcoholics. Can you speak more about that?
Like, for instance, just friend's dad who's an alcoholic. Addictions and habits are just something that you really got to break. Like, I've just seen habits just break down families, just break down people.
Can you describe?
My friend's dad used to drink every single morning, every single night. It was just bad. The parents' relationship were bad. With alcohol involved, you just can't control yourself. Like, the arguments get 10 times worse than they normally would be. Especially when it's parents and then you have your own children watching. And it's just not a good example.
How did that affect your friend?
My friend is actually really strong. She's going the exact opposite way in life. She's trying to do good in school. She didn't drink, she didn't smoke, she didn't do any of that. She hates that lifestyle.
Have you tried drinking?
Yeah, I've tried drinking. Drinking's fun. You got to be able to control yourself, though. You got to be able to know your limits. You just got to be responsible and mature. I know it's kind of difficult to say that if you're under the influence. I know that a lot of school and law and parents, they get mad and frustrated about it. I mean, if you ask me, I think, honestly, parents should be more open about it just because if you don't want to accept the facts that your kid's going to drink at all during high school or something, then they're just going to go and do it behind your back somewhere that's not safe.
You enjoy drinking, and yet you recognize its danger.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't really drink too much. If it's there and, like, there's a bunch of people around, then it happens. But I like to stay away from it.
Have you ever been drunk?
Yes, I've been drunk.
Have you ever been in a car where the person driving had been drinking?
I've been in situations like that even before I've even drank, though, just by, like, friends' parents being intoxicated while they're driving. It's not safe, it's not good, but it happens.
What are your parents' attitudes towards drinking?
Both of them would not be happy if I drank. My mom is kind of more open just because I've talked to her about it and stuff, just because she knows that, I mean, it will happen once in a while. It's kind of unavoidable. She doesn't like me drinking. My dad, I don't really know what his thoughts on it are. She's probably not the greatest.
Do your parents drink?
My parents drink. I mean, they're not alcoholics. My dad has his few glasses of whiskey each night. My mom has, like, her glass of wine or beer a day. So it's not, like, a problem, but it's there.
What do they talk about at school?
Punishments. All they basically talk about is what will happen if you get caught. If I was in school, I would probably spend more time talking about how to be safe if you're in those type of situations.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Do you think you are at risk for becoming addicted to anything?
Hopefully not. I mean, I don't think anybody really recognizes that they're at risk of being addicted to anything. I think they probably stop before they are.
Or they just become addicted.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's any relationship between the friends you're keeping, the parties you're attending, the little bit of drinking, the little bit of weed, and your motivation at school and how your school performance is, what direction you are taking in life or not taking in life? Do you think there's any relationship?
Yeah, I do. You know, like, there's some people who can do all sorts of types of things, but they're motivated in life. I guess it all just depends on the person.
But what about you?
Me personally? Probably, because I just don't really have too much balance in life. I just kind of do really what I want. Right now, I'm just thinking with my future, just go to community college, and then from there, I'll just see what happens. Try to go to a bigger college, something like that. I don't really drink too much. I mean, cut down on smoking, but my motivation for school and stuff like that is still not the best.
Do you think that there's a relationship?
With me personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Hypothetically, if you were to decide, I'm kind of done partying and I'm going to just go clean for a while, what would your friends say or think, or what do you think would happen?
You can still go out and kick it with your friends. You don't have to be messed up or anything. I mean, I know I have friends that do get messed up a lot, but I also have friends who stay sober. If they go to a party or something, they stay completely sober.
Would your friends respect your decision?
My friends probably would, they would respect it. I used to have a whole crew of friends we all just used to smoke with, but now it's only like half of those people that still do. Actually, because those kids kind of got in trouble and got put on probation. They get P-tested.
So the kids who stop doing it are not doing it because they're being punished?
Yeah, because they're getting P-tested.
Not because they decided it wasn't for them.
But a lot of the kids that have said that, like, it's good just to be clean from it just for a while. It's kind of like refreshing.
Would you still feel that same kind of kinship or friendship if you were just kind of out of that? Or would you just kind of feel like you just need to fit into a whole different new group if you just went totally clean and sober?
No, I'd probably still be with the same people. You have friends and then you have like your real close homies that like that actually know you. The close friends that I have, that it wouldn't change a thing.
That's nice to know.
Yeah, that's good.
How does casual use progress into a habit or become an addiction?
I don't know. I guess you could say it's like practice. If you just practice at something, you get good at it. So you just keep on doing something, it just like becomes more and more and more and more and more. That's how I feel.
Tell me more about what it's like at school. What kind of pressures there are? What kind of like groups there are? Who does it? How people think about them?
I know, like, grown-ups like to think of schools and, like, it's pressure to do this and it's pressure to, like, drink and smoke. To be honest, it's not really pressure at all. It's kind of like you're in the situation. It's your own personal choice. Like, yeah, I kind of want to do that. Honestly, I would have to say that probably at least 95% of my junior class has smoked and drank. You're 16 years old. It's just kind of common.
Are there any harder drugs happening at school or at parties?
Yeah, definitely.
Like what?
Ecstasy is the most common, most that, like, if you try something else, usually it'll be ecstasy.
Have you tried anything harder?
No, I haven't.
Are you curious too?
Yeah, there's always curiosity. I just try to stay away from it.
So given that you kind of wish that schools or maybe your parents even could inform you or inform you and your peers about how to be more safe, what kind of information do you have or do you know or where are you getting your information from?
Don't drink and drive. Don't be with somebody who's drinking while they're driving. If you see a situation that's bad, if you can see something that's not going to turn out right, you should probably just use common sense, basically.
The thing is, it's kind of hard to use common sense when you're intoxicated. That's kind of like the first thing that goes.
Yeah, it is. If you're intoxicated to the point where you can't think clearly, I don't have much to say to you.
Judgment becomes impaired even with mild intoxication. You don't have to be severely intoxicated to lose your sense of judgment.
If you drink until you can't make your own decisions, then you probably shouldn't be drinking.
But what I'm saying is that even when people drink a small amount, their judgment becomes impaired. So perhaps there are ways to think about how to use safely that are just automatic and then don't require you to think. For example, if there's a party where drinking's happening, then there's just a no questions van set to take people home with a sober driver. There's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, if you're planning on getting smashed, you should probably know where you're staying at that night, first of all. Like, if you're crashing at the place where you're getting hammered at, or if you need to get home, having a sober ride home.
So how do you particularly use safely?
I mean, I wouldn't call it safe just because it's not safe.
What do you mean?
Nothing is safe. Riding a bike is not safe. That's what I mean. It's just like you never know what could happen. I honestly don't think you can use alcohol safely.
And what about weed?
I think that's a whole different story, to be honest. I just think weed and alcohol just have two totally different effects. And me personally, I don't understand why alcohol is legal and weed isn't. I think it should be the opposite way around.
Is part of the illegality of the drugs and the alcohol part of their allure?
Kids are curious to use them because they're not accepted by grown-ups and stuff. Like in the UK, alcohol is just so much more, like, it's just around. You can be 18 to buy it. It's like, it's not a big thing. If alcohol and marijuana were just completely legalized, that it wouldn't be such like a demand for people to get their hands on. It would just be like a normal thing.
People just be more chill about it and not be like trying to get hammered all the time.
Exactly.
If you had a younger brother or sister, would you have anything that you'd want to tell your younger brother or sister?
Probably the same thing my big brother told me. Just don't be stupid. Just use your head. Don't make bad choices.
So you weigh your risks, you weigh the benefits, and make your choices, take your chances.
True.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It has.
I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Ishan Chaudhary from San Rafael, California.
Din, din, na, di, na.
Pooja Gajare is a junior at St. Francis High School in Mountain View, California.
Pooja, thank you so much for offering to talk to me today.
Yeah, no problem.
Can you tell me what you think and feel about smoking, drinking, drug use, habits, addictions?
Well, you know, we've been taught in school and told by our parents numerous times that all these things are bad and that we shouldn't do them.
Do you think that they're bad?
Yeah, I think they're bad. I think that they can ruin your life.
Even if you were just to use them like once or twice or now and again?
Yeah, but the problem with doing that is that you could get addicted, and then once you're addicted, you're stuck for life.
Well, you could come out of your addiction too.
Yeah, that's possible, but that doesn't always happen, and why would you take that chance? It's just not worth it.
So what are they telling you at school?
We have, like, you know, various times of the year, usually in a science class, where they just go over, like, every drug and tell you literally its effects on the body, and, like, how it can damage different organs in your body, and they give you some statistics about what is done to teenagers and drunk driving and that sort of thing.
What is done to teenagers? What do you mean?
Meaning, like, they teach you, like, different ways to deal with peer pressure that maybe, you know, you can say no outright, or you can just avoid people who are putting peer pressure on you and choose your friends wisely and that sort of thing.
Do you have any friends that are putting any peer pressure on you?
No, I don't really have friends of that sort, although I know there's people at school who do these kind of things. I may know some of them, but they're more mere acquaintances rather than closer friends.
Has anybody ever offered anything to you?
No.
Have you ever been curious to know what it might feel like to take a puff of a cigarette, or to know what it might feel like to have a drink?
Yeah, I have been curious. I actually sometimes ask my dad. He hasn't smoked or anything, or, you know, done any of these things. But I think when he was younger, I guess that time people didn't know as much the effects of a glass of wine or something. Maybe in his college days, he's had a little bit before. So I ask him what it's like, and he just tells me it doesn't really taste that great, and there's really no reason to do it.
Did he tell you what the experience was like for him?
I don't really think he's had enough to really have much of an experience. And he's told me that if I'm really curious, like just to break the curiosity, he'll let me have a little bit under his supervision. And then, you know, after that, I'm going to be like, oh, it's not that good. I don't really need anything like this.
If you were to describe the attitude of your parents, how would you describe it?
They don't do it. They encourage me and tell me not to do it. And it's definitely not allowed in the household. It's just not really an option.
What do you think and feel about it?
I agree. It really shouldn't be an option, because especially at this age, because you're not smart enough to really make those sort of decisions. Maybe later on, maybe you can make that decision. Even then, probably your decision should be no. But I mean, at least at that point, you have the wisdom and maturity to think about it.
At what age do you think that wisdom and maturity develops?
I think that's kind of a tough question, probably one there's a lot of controversy about. I mean, I think right now it's 21 for smoking and drinking, I think. I guess that's okay, but that's still pretty young. I mean, you're still only in college and you're still under the influence of stuff like peer pressure. You're probably under the influence of peer pressure your whole life. That's a tough question. I'm not really sure about that.
What kind of stuff do they tell you at school about the bad effects of these things?
I guess the easiest one is for smoking, the one that comes to mind, because they always do this thing where they show you before after pictures of your lungs, or it's they show you healthy lungs and they show you like really burnt lungs that have been affected by the toxic materials from smoking, or they just tell you all the toxic things that are put into cigarettes. For drug addictions, they just talk about all the side effects. I don't know, I mean, just all the psychological effects too, and how you get highs and lows, and just how it alters your personality and your thinking.
And what are the techniques they tell you about how to manage peer pressure?
Well, they kind of give you the thing where they just say that, you know, if people are pressuring you, you just say no. I wouldn't really say they give you that much advice that's very realistic. I think it's more about who you hang out with. Because if you're just never in that environment where you never come into contact with it, then it's just not an issue.
What are the unrealistic techniques that they tell you?
Well, basically only one, which is say no forcefully. But, you know, that doesn't always work because, you know, I mean, that's the whole point of peer pressure. The person will say no and you keep pressurizing them until they either, I don't know, stop being your friends and leave, or they give in, or you make fun of them and they're miserable. But either way, you know, it's kind of no easy choice.
Choosing your friends carefully seems to be the piece of advice or the technique that to you seems like the most rational and reasonable.
Yeah, because I think if you're not in that situation, you don't have to even make that decision. Yeah, you kind of made it in a sense when you chose your friends. On the other hand, in some ways, it's sort of inevitable that you will come into contact with those things. I mean, at least through stories and people talking to you at school. But then, you know, that time it's much easier. Whereas, I don't know, if you're at some party or somewhere and it's really being done, then it might be, you know, quite difficult to refrain.
Then you kind of just don't go to the parties?
I mean, the parties that I've been to, there's always been parents there, so it really hasn't been a problem.
When you chose your friends, you didn't choose them based on whether they're doing drugs or not, right?
Yeah.
You chose your friends because you enjoy their company.
Right, yeah.
Obviously, some people are going to enjoy the company of some people who are using.
If you look around, people who are friends with each other, they're usually kind of similar to begin with. I mean, one of the ways you make friends in like high school is what activities you do and that sort of thing. And for example, if you're on the football team and you're a jock, you're going to be friends with other football players who are also jocks who will probably do things like do drugs. Whereas if you're maybe doing another sport that's not quite so, I don't know how to put this, but like, I think this also has to do with the concept of popularity. You know, usually the people who do drugs are the popular kids, whereas people who don't do drugs are usually the not so popular kids. And when you're in the popular crowd, it's usually because they're pretty similar people, they have the same interests, and they're willing to do things like drugs.
What's the relationship between being popular and using substances?
I think that's a good question. Just because the way their social life works, maybe it's because they get together and have these parties where they don't want parental supervision and they don't just do it once in a few weeks, they do it like every weekend. And at all these parties, kind of the recurring theme is that there's drugs and no parents, or parents that don't know there's drugs. These kids do these kind of things in their backyards or in their garage, and their parents are probably there, but maybe they just don't care or don't know.
Don't all kids in school want to be popular?
Yeah, of course.
Is that the ticket into your popularity, is to kind of join the group and do the things that the popular kids are doing?
Yeah, like I said, if you're similar, it's just easier to be friends. You have to do the same things, and I'm not really sure who decided that the football guys will be popular, or the cheerleaders will be popular, but that's been there for, I don't even know how long that's been there. And not everyone will even say they want to be popular. I don't even think anyone popular will say that they're popular.
What are the benefits of popularity?
They're basically known to be the happy kids on campus. I put this in air quotations because you look a little bit deeper and you see that they're really not the happy kids. I mean, they have plenty of problems just like everyone else. I mean, you know, naturally everybody wants to be happy. So somehow this has become linked that if you're popular, you're happy, you're usually also beautiful, maybe you're also smart, you're talented and
wealthy.
Wealthy, yeah, for sure.
So there's this link between popularity, a perceived persona of happiness, and substance use.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that people say they're happy because they do drugs. And on the other hand, there's also people who do drugs who are not necessarily popular. But I would say that group is rather small. And at a private school, that group that's not popular and does drugs doesn't really exist. I would say that's more at a public school, maybe, where there's a group of people who just are kind of, I don't know how to put this, they're in their own world and they're not really good at anything like sports or academics, and they do drugs, but they're not popular.
If one of the techniques is choosing your friends carefully, it's almost like first you have to choose yourself carefully.
Yeah, you really need to kind of define what enjoyment is to you. I mean, if you're going to these parties and you're not having a good time, then maybe you need to take a step back and look at what people are doing and what's fun for you.
Are there other ways to be well-liked and have a lot of friends and be popular in your own way without being part of that clique?
Yeah, there are people like that. I would say they're rather rare. They're usually very interesting people, I would actually say. They're popular, but they're not popular in what I call a mean way. They're not part of a clique. A lot of times, these are the kind of people who throw themselves into school life, like, very, very much. You can't really turn them as just a jock, but they're still popular just because they're nice and they're really good at other things. You know, other people maybe just like look up to him like, oh, he's so good at these things.
That's very interesting. You know, if you are good at something and you're very nice and you can be somebody that people look up to, that's a way of gaining popularity without necessarily putting yourself in situations that might be risky for you. Does choosing your friends carefully first mean choosing yourself carefully, knowing who you want to be and how you want to be?
Yeah, I would say that's true. I mean, I definitely went through a phase where I was in ninth grade and I really wanted to be popular. I mean, it was first year in high school. And then I made friends. They didn't do drugs, but it was just kind of their attitude towards other people. They weren't always so nice, including to me and to others. And so I eventually just decided that that wasn't the group for me because I didn't want to act like that. Also, I think that if you're popular, there was a point in your life where you had to kind of make that decision where your friends, your popular friends, were saying, come on, let's be mean to this person or let's do this. And you had to either do something wrong or be a little bit mean or snub someone just to get onto that pedestal of being popular. And it was a decision you had to make consciously.
Because you want to join the popular club.
Right. It might even be in degrees, like you just do it every day. Like there's this two people in your class and one's popular, one's not popular. And the one who's not popular wants to be your partner. And you actually maybe think that's a nice person, but you ignore that person and instead talk to the popular person.
Interesting. So do you have any other thoughts, feelings?
Yeah, I just think it's a lot about who you hang out with. And of course, that just eventually that just reflects who you are. It will rub off on you, definitely. I saw that myself where I was doing things in 10th grade, not necessarily very bad things, just how I acted with other people, which I wouldn't have done at the beginning of 9th grade. But just a year of hanging out with these people had kind of changed my way of acting. That's a way you form habits. I mean, and if those friends are doing drugs, well, then eventually you're going to do them too.
Do your parents know who your friends are?
Yeah.
Did they ever say to you, we don't like that person, we don't want you to hang out with that person?
There have been instances where my parents kind of asked me, like, do you really like this person? I mean, doesn't seem like your type of friend, you know, and that sort of thing happened when I was still hanging out with that other group of people. We just were so different. They were very into things that were, like, hippie, and they weren't very good at school, and I'm not boasting, but I usually am one of those more rigorous academic people's. I also do sports and I try to be involved in school, and I didn't really see that with them, and so eventually that just didn't work out.
Great. Anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, there is one thing I was going to say, which is just prom is a pretty ideal time for everyone to do drugs and that sort of thing. They actually do breathalyzer tests at the door. If you're smart, you won't do drugs before the dance, but rather you'll wait, go to the breathalyzer test, go to the dance, you know, everything. And then afterwards, when you go to someone's home or to your own home for your own party, you will then do drugs.
What's so great about prom?
Well, prom is supposed to be the major event of the year. Ever since we became juniors, me and my best friend have already started thinking about it.
You think your parents are going to let you go?
Yeah, they will. Where it really gets iffy is afterwards. But see, once again, if your friends are good and you can still have a party afterwards, you don't necessarily need drugs, you know? Probably if I do go to a party, it'll be with some friends who are not going to do drugs, so it's fine. Choose your friends wisely, I guess, would be my last words of advice.
Excellent. Thank you so much. It's been a really lovely conversation.
Yes, same. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Pooja Gajare from Mountain View, California. Din din na din na takka tunga kitta takka tarikit na takka da mgain ta da mgain ta da mgain ta. Our concluding poem. Just say no to darkness and downward and doubting, to stingy and clinging and cringing, to nothing and never and nonsense. Just say yes to breathing and wishing and giving and living, to feeling and thinking and dreaming and believing, to loving and laughing and dancing and singing. Just stay centered in clarity and sincerity, in generosity and kindness, in respect for now and here and the life in between them. Just stay above the influence of profit and motive, of status and image. Just say yes to everything within you, emotions, sensations, every moment by moment. Just say yes to being real. Just be yourself.
Neijing Now was written, edited, recorded, and produced by Dr. Jayashree Chander. Website setup and design, Srinivas Pakanati and Dirk Polson. Tabla and manjira played by Jayashree. Bass guitar by Pedro Ordonez. Drum set by G.C. Garcia. Compositions from Pandit Swapan Chaudhary. Concluding poem written by Jayashree. Distributed by Gypsy Jace Productions. Found at gypsyjace.net. JYPSYJAYS.net. You can find us on the web at neijingnow.org. NEIJINGNOW.ORG.